And the cause of unhappiness is not submitting, and in the measure to which I do not submit, I've dealt with pious souls, good persons. But what a difference, between being pious and prayerful and being truly happy. True interior happiness is reserved only for those who completely surrender their wills to God. That's St. Paul. Talking to the prophets, foretelling the future was not their only duty, in fact, not their primary duty. Their predictions could be threatening or encouraging. And in fact, in most cases, what they predicted had to, in the nature of things, take place within the lifetime of their listeners. Otherwise, well, would be lost on those for whom it was meant. The most important prophecies are regarding the Messiah and the Messianic Kingdom. This was to prepare, maintain, and intensify Israel's hopes. As I read and reread St. Paul, in this case, go back over the Acts of the Apostles, and this morning before class, I didn't really have to do it, and time ran short. I didn't really have a chance to. I'm going to just refresh my memory and consult with Gotham Jewish sources in our Jesuit library at the university. What they say about Paul and what they say about Christ. After 2,000 years, not only have the Messiah never came, but this soul person have a goal to try to change the minds of the Jewish people. And so, not surprisingly, as we know, he was beheaded. In other words, the crucifixion of Christ, hear it, is going on, has been going on for 2,000 years, and will continue until the end of time. Not know that is not know Christianity. What is where Paul is so marvelously prophetic and shows up everything which Christ foretold about himself. Who could finish this sentence of St. Paul. I wish to know nothing else except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul experienced it. He foretold it. Thanks, Paul. Thanks. No implications for the spiritual life. Confirming our faith in Christ as the Messiah, as we have been speaking, help explain Christ's rejection by the Jews. Add to our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Predict the Messianic Kingdom, and this is a big one. Not only in this years, both in the Acts of the Apostles and other letters of St. Paul. The Apostle of the Gentiles, as we call him, not only foretold that the Christ who had come would be rejected by his people, but the Old Testament prophets spoke of two kinds of messianisms. We use the word messianism. There was the messianism of a single person, of the Messiah, and there was the messianism of the society which Christ founded. In other words, what St. Paul saw was that the prophets predicted not only how the Messiah would come, and St. Paul said, yes, he has come, but the prophets foretold that the Messianic Kingdom would come. And St. Paul affirmed, it has come, and the Messianic Kingdom is the Church. And hear it. And just as the Messiah had been persecuted during his own visible stay on earth, so his Church would be persecuted. And that is why, when I read that, I almost leapt for joy. Our present Holy Father said, oh, thanks. The normal condition of the Catholic Church is one of persecution. Thanks. Thanks, Holy Father. Thanks. I never know when I'm talking to an audience how many among those to whom I'm speaking have had personal experience what I'm saying. If they have, I thank God. If they haven't, I hope they will have the strength to persevere when they get the experience. It's real. It is sweeter than honey, but it's real. This is St. Paul. I don't have to do anything. Just be a follower of Christ. All you've got to do is, well, just say your prayers. Be a good Catholic from me. Well, be a faithful follower of St. Ignatius. Teach the faith. And the rest will follow infallibly. Among the implications, help explain Christ's prophecies. Remember about himself and how he would be rejected. Strengthen us to suffer for witnessing to Christ. Look, I've been ordained 47 years. The Lord keeps me going. Next month, I can't believe it, June the 18th, if I make it, it'll be 48 years. But it's just wonderful. And the beauty is that you pay for it. Explain persecution of the church over the centuries. St. Robert Bellarmine, the Jesuit cardinal and doctor of the Universal Church, whom I wrote my doctoral thesis, he has not just four, he has 15 marks of the true church, and one of his 15 marks of the true church is persecution. Thanks, St. Robert. Thanks. How right you are. I received in the mail recently about a 10-page printout and a dialogue between a father and one of his assistants and trying to bring down his daughter's Catholic faith. The girl is 12 years old. The father, when he married, claimed to become a Catholic before marriage, was married in the Catholic Church. Within 6 months, he reverted back to what he had been and had been a rabid anti-Catholic over the years. One morning, and the wife was pregnant with the last child. He was leaving for work. He just heard the crash. It was sound like glass. Sure enough, with a hammer, he broke all the statues, all the holy pictures, everything. In the house. You should read and see how that girl, 12 years old, standing up for her faith, resisting the pressure of both the father and his minion that he hired to bring down his daughter's resistance. Part of my daily fare. What a treasure we've got. by the name of God, let's be sure that we are willing to pay the price that God expects of us, and help those who are paying dearly to remain fervent Catholics themselves. They need our moral and prayerful support. Lead on. Number 8. The prophets, and Paul exhausts his treatment of the prophets as prototypes of the church, as teacher of God's will. Oh, what a contrast. A good definition of the world is the teacher of self-will. Now, the teacher of God's will is the church. Asked you by Christ, but pray for those within the church, especially in positions of leadership, how they may not weaken under the barrage of both seduction and fear, and not insist on God's will being done. Explain vocation as a mission. And we finish up our class for this semester. I would like to make it as plain as I can. The reason under God why we have these classes is that you in turn might share your faith and your faith convictions with others. Unless I'm mistaken, I did tell you, do you remember? One convert, remember? I wonder if anybody remembers the date by which you ought to have been responsible for at least one convert within 1 year. Anybody remember? Who can finish the sentence? The capacity of the human mind to forget is? Thank you. None of us will get to heaven alone. We've got to bring others there too, to make it ourselves. And just a word on the false prophets, whose number has always been large, and in his world beyond vision, make sure that we know how to avoid the blandishment and seduction of those who are, in the deepest sense of the word, false prophets, because and could not be a better day today happens to be, not coincidentally but providentially, today is what, remember, today is Good Shepherd Sunday. And remember, our task is to, under Christ the Good Shepherd, to bring to others the nourishment of God's truth, the guidance of leading people along the paths of virtue and of goodness to their final destiny, and protecting them from the evil one, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church now closes, did you know this? Now closes the Our Father, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Any questions? You said there were seven things you learned as a priest that are not in books. What are they? I gave you one. By the time you finish this class, I may also give you the other six. The one is that God in the New Testament rewards and punishes internally and not externally as he used to in the Old Law. There are so many contemporary prophets and prophecies now. How are we to discern what is of God and what is of others? Three basic rules. First, for a thing to be of God and a rich prophecy, it must be consistent with the teachings of the Church. Number one. Number two. If a thing is of God, the person behind that teaching is a good person. God does not communicate his truth especially to teach others to evil persons. And thirdly, to whether something is of God and you want to do God's will, does it bring you peace? If it brings you peace, then you can trust it is of God. The preacher mentioned 25 Gospels originally written. Why were they thrown out? And who wrote them? Where are they now? Well, Doubleday, my publisher, has a book out. I see what the book costs. Get a copy of the Apocryphal Gospels. So Doubleday, and maybe even other apocrypha besides the Gospels. They were written many of the first 300 years of the Christian era. And they were written by heretics who, in order to get the heresy across, claimed to have revelations. Every major heresy over the centuries, it has been really successful, has always claimed to be revealed, to be revealed. Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism. He had revelations. Muhammad had revelations. Why were they thrown out? Well, because they were inconsistent with the established revealed truth and were thrown out by the Catholic Church. Here's the discussion of Eucharist, or in the discussion, is there such a thing as Eucharist with a capital E or a small e? Oh yes. For example, the Protestants speak of a Eucharist. Protestants have Eucharist. They celebrate the Eucharist. You have a lot of ceremony, a lot of music. Of course, they will not put it with a small e. In fact, sadly, so many authentic Eucharists, where our Lord is really present, are not found with a small e in what should be Catholic literature. A friend who is becoming a priest said, the tree is the Eucharist. Well, if he's becoming a priest, he better have somebody explain to him what the Eucharist is. The confusion is just vast and profound. Big words. And as was verified in the so-called Dutch Catechism, issued by the Dutch hierarchy, no less. And the imprimatur of the whole Dutch episcopate, just stuffed with heresy. Yeah, I told you about the American bishop who then gave the imprimatur for the English translation. I met him at a meeting. I said, Bishop, whatever possessed you to give the imprimatur? I never read the book. At a local parish, the gospel reading of the prodigal son was acted out. It was portrayed as a prodigal daughter. My fiancé and I brought this here to the attention of the parish worship committee and the parish priest. We have been muted. To discuss this and other issues at the next committee. I may be deputed, I'm not sure. Please give us your blessing to defend the faith with or without. But you how and humbly. Well, I give you a blessing at a distance. May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. I need a good text on apologetics. Can you recommend one? Oh, yes. Father William Most, M-O-S-T. Father William Most, M-O-S-T. It's either Christendom or Tan Publishers that put it out. William Most. My 15-year-old, with other youth and the priest and others of the Legionaries of Christ, went door to door yesterday to spread the faith. They will love, receive, and will continue to evangelize as Holy Father requested. My son learned Honest Catechism from your books, classes, and tapes. Takes you for his example to hard, persevering work for Christ's kingdom. Thank you. God bless you. Do you mind telling us how old you are? Old. Like Mother Teresa. I'm 80 on the outside, 18 on the inside. Why didn't Mother Angelica get to purchase the Franciscan Friary in Southfield, Michigan? Because he wouldn't sell it to her. What is the process by which a bishop is chosen for a dying in the United States? Well, first of all, he's recommended by local bishops, goes through the apostolic delegate, as we may still call him, in Washington, and finally approved by the Congregation for Bishops in Rome. Finally, of course, the Pope himself has to give the approval. He's charged locally, goes through Washington, is finally approved in Rome. I have an uncanny friend who has an expert desire to attend one of your classes. Would you be welcome? Oh, most welcome. In other words, would this alter your style of presentation? Oh, gracious, no. Nearly acting in the pro-life movement. I truly have taught in 6 Protestant seminaries. I never had to change anything in my teaching. And ironically, like I told you, they never once have to give a single class even on Protestantism. Never. Or more and more on Catholicism. So I just laid it on. Where will you be living this summer? Next fall. Well, this summer I will be at the university. Next fall, my superior knows, and I don't yet know. But I just know for sure we'll be having classes here in Ann Arbor next fall. Can you recommend a good book or source to study Scripture with? It depends on what level of Scripture you would want to cover. I would say this, and this would be one easy statement to make. Anything on sacred Scripture by William Most, I can recommend without reservation. 15-year-old son believes he may have vocation to the priesthood, but he is also very strongly drawn to athletics and socializing with peers. The more he socializes, the less devout he becomes, it seems. How far should parents go? How much should we restrict? How do we keep the world close from distracting your child from his call? That's an important question, and that is why for the legionaries of Christ, as you know, they take them already in high school. And one way of doing it, which may not be easy, would be to say, go to a boarding high school, a good Catholic boarding high school. One way of doing it. Or, again, depending on home conditions, just keep very busy. All I know, at the age of 15, of course I went to high school, but just my mother and I had to do all the work. I would repair the plumbing, remember putting a roof on the garage, age of 15, putting a floor in one of the rooms, doing carpentry, bricklaying. I really believe that, at least in the United States, see, there's just so much, call it free time. You know what I'm talking about? Most societies, if you look at us Americans, they just shake their heads. Not just keeping busy, it's just, yeah, doing something worthwhile. So, how can parents help our children to respond to the call of their vocation? Well, first, by receiving the sacraments frequently. All I know, that's the way I was brought up. That's the way we Jesuits, for four centuries, we trained our own students. We just assumed, for example, in high school, we assumed that all of our students, went to Mass and Communion every day. Honest, as I'm standing here. And these are the homework we give them. For example, one class. They normally had, say, four or five classes in high school. Now, we were forbidden as scholastics teaching high school students, forbidden ever except, well, on a major holiday, we're forbidden to ever let a night pass without getting homework. Well, you got two and a half hours of homework every night. Oh. You're run away from homework. Oh, you shape up and follow through on God's will. We are from Bowling Green, Ohio. Our pastor told us this morning that in the near future we'll probably have only one priest for our county and part of the neighboring county. I'm not surprised. Not surprised. During the consecration of the wine at Mass, would it be invalid for the priest to say, for you and for many, rather than for you and for all? Would the former be preferable. Either one would be valid. What do they say now? Say now for?
For you and for all.
For all.
For you and for all.
For all. No. That's preferable. Regarding the prodigal daughter incident, we are discussing the issue of the next parish worship. Oh. Gosh. We wanted your blessing to help us to defend the faith and the church's matter. Please pardon my penmanship. Oh. Great. And, but what they won't make an issue of, right? How would you answer a Seventh-day Adventist how the priesthood is an excuse to proliferate the church? That a priest is not necessary for reconciliation. One can pray directly to God for forgiveness. The priest is superfluous. Well, the whole issue is, as we know, whether Christ did indeed institute a priesthood and confirm a priesthood, the twofold power of changing bread and wine into his own living body and blood, and of forgiving sins. Now, for the first 1500 years, this had been the common belief of Christians. And then those who sprang from the dissenters, oh my goodness, Seventh-day Adventists are just a drop in the bucket. By the year 1600, something I've told you, there were over 200 opinions on the meaning of Christ's words, "This is my body, this is my blood." And the main reason, which began already in the 16th century, for the divisions in Protestants are right here from the very beginning. Luther and Calvin never agreed on the Holy Eucharist. For Calvin, it was a merely spiritual or symbolic presence. For Luther, the ex-priest, it was a real presence. I think we explained it, a real presence which postulated Christ's presence beforehand as Christ all over the world. So there's no limit to the errors that the human mind cannot conjure up. So, and this is where we'd rather not just know our faith, but know how to defend it. And know that for the first 1,000 years, there was not a single serious heresy denying the real presence. All the great doctors of the church, Ambrose, Augustine, Jerome, you name them, they all believed in the real presence, all believed in the priesthood, all believed in the Mass. You stated that general absolution is invalid. When have you received general absolution in good faith? Our church was giving this for 4 years. Well, as I think I've told you, for general absolution to be valid, a large number of people does not justify general absolution. There must be a real, real emergency. An epidemic, a plague, time of war, something which requires a large number of people being absolved in a short space of time. When you have been valid, first of all, when there is a real emergency. Secondly, when those who receive the general absolution seriously intend to confess their mortal sins at the next early, get it, at the next early private confession of sins. Without that intention, the general absolution is invalid. In other words, general absolution does not dispense from confessing those sins. Am I clear? Does the person have the intention to personally, privately confess those sins, the general absolution does not take? If a thousand bishops say the contrary, it doesn't work. And the real crisis is with the bishops. Pray for bishops. My main work for the Holy See for 25 years. Pray for bishops.